Well, I think it's fair to say that lights are a big deal at Christmas. So much so that in some streets it's become a bit of a competition, it seems, as to who can put most lights on their houses. It's a competition that grows every year. I don't know whether you came across the story in the local newspaper a few weeks ago. You see the picture coming up, a guy from Hale who went to town decorating his own house inside and out. It took him the best part of a week, and apparently he used somewhere in the region of 50,000 lights, which I imagine comes with a pretty hefty electricity bill. But of course, it's not just lights on houses. At Christmas, lights are everywhere. There's lights on hats, there's lights on jumpers, there's lights on trees, there's lights lining streets, there's lights in shop windows. And for those who like to keep it simple, there's still the classic Christmas candle. You see, lights are a big deal at Christmas. And lights are a big deal at Christmas because darkness is a big deal in God's world. In fact, those twin themes of light and darkness run all the way through the Bible, and they come together at Christmas to help us understand what God was doing when Jesus was born into this world. Have a look, if you would, at the verse on the screen, which was actually written 700 years before Jesus was born. Yet in it, God was pointing forward to what was going to happen on that first Christmas morning. This is what the prophet Isaiah saw. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. As we think about that verse this evening, there's two questions that I'd like to ask you all, which are both quite personal in many ways. And the first one is this. Are you in the dark? Are you in the dark? Of course, in many ways this evening, we all are. There's a few candles, of course, around lighting up the place, but essentially we're in the dark. If you were to walk outside now, it would be dark. Yet when the Bible speaks about darkness, it isn't talking about physical darkness or nighttime. It's talking about spiritual darkness. There are so many people in this world who are in the dark when it comes to knowing who God is. And the message of Christmas is actually very simple, that Jesus as the light of heaven, has come down into this dark world to help us see. That's what Isaiah is talking about in verse 2. The people walking in darkness, he's talking about spiritual darkness, have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep spiritual darkness, a light has dawned. The question we need to ask ourselves this evening is, in what sense is the world a dark place? Well, in the Bible, the word darkness is a picture of two main things, badness and blindness. Now, I don't know what people get in their stockings anymore, but when I was a boy, there were two things guaranteed every year I'd get in my stocking. One was a bag of chocolate coins. You know, the ones in that little netting? Yeah, people got it as well in their stocking. Lovely. You have to peel open the little foil there, don't you, get your chocolate out. So I was guaranteed a bag of chocolate coins. And the other thing, for some random reason, there was always a Satsuma right in the... Yeah, nodded. A Satsuma right down the toe end of the stocking. Why it was there, I don't know. But every single year, I had a Satsuma at the bottom of my stocking. Well, one year, I found my Satsuma in my stocking about 2 months after Christmas. And of course, it wasn't a pretty sight. On this occasion, sometimes they just sort of shrivel up, don't they, and go dry. But that didn't happen. This one had gone really bad, like it was oozing. And so I had to put my hand into my stocking and pull out this rotten Satsuma. Well, that's maybe a little picture of our world. A world that God made good, which has now gone bad. Just think for a moment about the world that Jesus was born into. violence, injustice, abuse of power, homelessness, refugees fleeing oppression, war, and families torn apart by grief. Feels a little bit like our world, doesn't it? And that's because it is. Because actually, in 2,000 years, our world has not changed a great deal. You see, this might not sound very Christmassy, but the message of Christmas isn't that things are really good, that life is exactly as it's meant. Everything is spot on. Life is just perfect and good all the time. That's not actually the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is that things are actually pretty messy. The world that we live in is deeply broken by sin. It is a dark and damaged world, and Jesus came as the light into this dark world. That's the hope that Isaiah sees in verse 2. The coming of a promised king who is going to sort out this broken, messy world once and for all. Firstly then, the world is a dark place because it's broken. It's gone bad. It's turned away from God. But secondly, the world is a dark place because it's blind. It's a picture of those who are blind to the truth, who are stumbling around in darkness, spirit, trying to make sense of life and why they're here. What's my purpose? What's coming next? What's this life all about? Is there anything next? These are really big questions, but you know what? The world has no answers to them because it's looking in the wrong place. You see, the answer to our broken world doesn't lie in politics and better governments. It doesn't lie in education and better training. It doesn't lie in advances in medicine, as good as all these things are. You see, the answer does not lie somewhere within ourselves. You can see that actually in the second half of verse 2, which says this, on those living in the land of deep darkness, notice a light has dawned. It doesn't say that a light has sprung up from within this world, that the answer was always here within us and we just had to find what that answer was. No, it says a light has dawned on the world. It has come from the outside. In fact, the answer has come from heaven itself. This is what we read later in chapter 9 of Isaiah. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The light that Isaiah speaks about in verse 2 is the coming of a baby king, God himself, who alone can fix this broken world and rid us of the darkness forever. Which brings us to our second question this evening. Firstly, are you in the dark? Secondly, have you seen the light? Because according to the Bible, the light has already dawned. Past tense, verse 2. And the light has already dawned because Jesus has already come. He's already come. One of the most embarrassing moments in my life was when I was about 15 years old. I went round to my mate's house. He was called Hoppy. We hadn't been pals long. It was the first time I was round there. I was stopping over, and he had in his bedroom a bunk bed. And so he was on the bottom bunk, I was in the top bunk. And I woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning around Hoppy's house, needing the toilet, which is never a great scenario when you're on unfamiliar territory. And so I sort of slid down this little ladder, okay, and then I found the door, opened the door, and I stepped out onto the landing. Dark. Couldn't see anything. So I stopped there for a moment and tried to picture in my mind when I walked up the stairs earlier where everything was. I'm thinking, okay, bedroom, bathroom, bedroom, bedroom. Got it. And so hand on one side, banister, hand on the other side, sort of the wall and the doors, and you start shuffling, don't you? In the dark, you don't pick up your feet in case you're forced to shuffle along, kicking a few shoes and whatever's on the landing. And I come to the door on my right hand side. I find the door handle. I open the door, push it open, put my hand around the door to find the light.
On comes the light switch. Poppy's mum and dad sat bolt upright in bed. Instead of walking into the bathroom, I'd walked into Hoppy's mum and dad's bedroom, 3 o'clock in the morning, and flicked on the light. The first time I'd ever met them was earlier that day. And I'm stood there in my boxers trying to find the toilet at 3 o'clock in the morning. Not pleasant for me, and probably not very pleasant either for Hoppy's mum and dad, Glenys and John. But point of the story is this: when the light comes on, everything becomes clear, right? Until that moment, you're fumbling around, you're trying to make sense of where you are and where you're going, and ping, the light switch comes on, truth is revealed, all becomes clear. Well, so it was when Jesus, as the light, came into our dark world. He helps us see. He helps us see things as they really are. He shows us our hearts. He shows us our sin. He shows us the different ways we've gone wrong. He shows us our need for a Saviour. And he stands before this world as that Saviour, calling people to come to him and to find life. Which is exactly what the angel made clear before Jesus was even born. Remember that? Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means one who saves. That's why Jesus came. And right from the very outset, before he was even born into this world, we are told ever so clearly why he came. He was born to be our Savior. He grew up to be our Savior. And he died on a cross with my sin in my place to be my Savior. And the call of Christmas, the message of Christmas that should be ringing out of every single church, is to put your trust in him. The one who came as the light into this dark world to bring salvation for you. Jesus himself said, in fact, not long before he went to the cross and died, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, whoever trusts in me, whoever believes in me, in who I am and what I have done, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And that promise is valid both for the present and the future. You see, Jesus has already come once. That's Christmas. He's already come once in order to mend our broken relationship with God. That's why he came. But the Bible says he's not going to stay in heaven now. He's coming again. And he's going to return in glory from heaven. And when he does, he will light up the sky. He won't come in the quietness as he did that first time, born in that little manger tucked away in Bethlehem. No, he's going to come in glory. And the light will shine and the darkness will be vanquished forever. And all those who believe in him will live in the light of his goodness for all eternity. That's the future that Isaiah sees in verse 2. The light shining in the darkness. The question for you as we draw things to a close is this: not only have you seen the light, but will you receive the light? Because sadly, not everyone does. This is what we read in John's Gospel, the beginning of John's Gospel. The true light, that's Jesus, that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. God was in the world. And the world was made through him. But the world did not recognize him. How sad is that? God walked in this world. Jesus stood before the very people that he made and gave life to. And they didn't recognize him. And they didn't receive him as their king. And you know what? It's no different today. Jesus is rejected by many like an unwanted gift. at Christmas. You maybe heard the story of Thelma Howard. She was an American maid who worked for the great Walt Disney. And every year from her boss at Christmas, she received a little gift, which was in this little envelope. She was given one every year. But for some reason, she didn't open these Christmas gifts. She stored them away in a little box. And after Thelma had died, when her family were going through a house and all the things, they found this box under a bed full of all these little envelopes that were given every single year to her from the great Walt Disney. And they opened them up to find out that they were shares in the Disney Corporation worth a staggering $30 million. And she missed out on the lot because she never opened a single one and received the gift that had been placed before her. She had it in her hands. She actually had it in her hands, and she put it in a little box and stored it away under the bed, but she didn't open it. It's a pretty sad story, isn't it, to hear at Christmas? But how much more so when it comes to Jesus, who offers himself to this world as the greatest gift, light that has stepped into the darkness to offer salvation to all, that people would fail to receive that gift. We've sung this already, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark streets shineth the everlasting light. That's Jesus. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. All of our hopes, all of our dreams are met in the Lord Jesus. They find their fulfillment in him. And all of our fears and all of our troubles will one day disappear because of him, if you put your trust in him. Why would anyone not receive from God what God is all too willing to give? Let's watch the video as we think about that question.